Hello, thanks for joining me. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. It's time for our weekly rendezvous with our popular Latin lover. He's Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, as you all know. This week I quiz him about a papal document written by the founder of the Pontifical Institute we've just been talking about. Pius X. 1903. Beginning of the 20th century.
That's when he was elected.
Mm-hmm. He wrote, at the beginning of his pontificate, he wrote an instruction on sacred music. On the feast day of St. Cecilia, November 22nd, 1903. I'd like to, for respect towards your expertise in Latin, I'd like to read from a section in the liturgical text which says, "The language proper to the Roman Church is Latin. Hence it is forbidden to sing anything whatever in the vernacular in solemn liturgical functions." And he specifies much more, to sing in the vernacular common parts of the Mass.
I didn't know that.
He also specifies what the least suitable music is for liturgical events. In his view, for accompanying functions of public worship, the least suitable is the theatrical style, which was in the greatest vogue in Italy in the 19th century, which he describes as diametrically opposite to Gregorian chant. Now, you know who I'm going to speak about now, don't you?
No.
Someone you like a lot. Venantius
Fortunatus.
Right?
We were reading him in the office this morning.
Okay, what did he say? What were you reading about?
Well, reading his hymns there, which are in the breviary all over the place.
Well.
That people don't know about. I'm surprised that he spoke that strongly. Pius X about liturgical hymns in Latin.
He specifies, Pius X, he says that sacred music should possess in the highest degree the qualities proper to the liturgy, and in particular sanctity and goodness of form. Which will spontaneously produce the final quality of universality.
Good.
How does one say sanctity and goodness of form in Latin?
Sanctitatem formaeque bonitatem. Oh, no, they wouldn't say bonitatem. Integritatem.
And it must...
Sanctitatem formaeque integritatem.
Which gives it a final quality of universality. That's interesting, isn't it?
Quae tribuit. Ultimam universalitatis indolem.
Then he says it must be holy. We know what that is in Latin.
Whatever that means.
Well, he specifies. And must therefore exclude all profanity, not only in itself, but in the manner in which it is presented by those who execute it.
Like people dancing with guitars at the altar.
How does one say people dancing with guitars at the altar?
No!
He didn't know. There weren't people dancing.
No. Cum citeris saltantes ad aram. Cum citeris saltantes ad aram. People dancing with guitars at the altar.
It must be true art, for otherwise it will be impossible for it to exercise on the minds of those who listen to it that efficacy which the Church aims at obtaining in admitting into her liturgy the art of musical sounds. How do I say the art of musical sounds?
Bob, you want to say sonorum musicorum artem? You can do that easily. I better look into this thing. I have to look into
Pius,
this.
Pius, I can give it to you.
No, I know where I can find it at the beginning of his pontificate.
The different kinds of sacred music, it says that these qualities are to be found in the highest degree in Gregorian chant, as we said, no? Consequently, the chant proper to the Roman Church, the only chant she has inherited from the ancient fathers, which she has jealously guarded for centuries in her liturgical, well, it says codices, but I don't know how you say that in English. Codices?
Codices. Like manuscripts.
Yeah.
Like
so
books.
How does one say the Gregorian chant, the only chant inherited from the ancient fathers, jealously guarded for centuries?
Cantus Gregorianus. A patribus hereditate acceptus. Jealously. That's a hard word to say.
Why do you think I picked it?
Custoditus. Almost avide. Avidissime custoditus. Guarded as what?
For centuries.
A tot secula. I have to look into this.
You know the other guy he likes is Pierluigi da Palestrina. Classic polyphony. How does one say that in Latin?
Polyphonia classica, what are you going to say?
Of the Roman school. The supreme model of all sacred music.
He would talk that way today. You could never get away with that today.
Okay, well,
he'll just laugh you out of existence.
Venantius Fortunatus. The supreme model of all sacred music.
He would talk that way today. You could never get away with that today.
Okay, well,
he'll just laugh you out of existence.
Venantius Fortunatus. He was a saint, and he was born about 530. He was Italian.
Well, actually, French, really. What might have been up there in southern France, if I'm not mistaken.
In Poitiers, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He received a relic of the two cross, and he has a famous hymn, no? Does he have a famous hymn?
Vexilla Regis Pro Deunt, or something. Or Pange Linguam, depends.
Vexilla Regis Pro Deunt.
Mm-hmm.
Hymnus in honore Sancte Crucis.
Which is still used today in the liturgy for Good Friday. It's still used. Most people don't know where it comes from.
Okay, well, what verse would you like to translate for us?
Vexilla Regis Pro Deunt, fulgit crucis mysterium. The flags of the king come out. The mystery of the cross is shining. Quo carne carnis conditor, suspensus est patibulo. By which mystery the creator of the flesh, in the flesh, was hung up on a cross. That's what's there.
Do they still sing all the verses, or just some of them?
Depends. No, not all the verses. Fundis aroma cortis, you know, I haven't seen that. I would think almost down to the end is fundis aroma cortis. The last two maybe not, but I see the rest is there. They were still using this.
A big thank you there to our popular Latin lover, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster, for sharing with us once again his scholarly expertise. Father Foster is currently working at the Vatican's Secretariat of State as the Pope's own Latinist. Thanks for listening. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick.